Touch, Lord, every heart and help us to understand what we cannot understand, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. There is a widespread view today that all the troubles of women come from having been a Christian country. It is quite clearly stated that the troubles of women are due to God. They point to Islam, they point to Judaism, they point to Christianity, and say that that's where it comes. Now, each person needs encouragement. And I think perhaps women take the biggest losses in life. My feeling is probably that although Peter will take this very hard, Sandra will take it harder. It's been the loss of her health and her job and everything else, and all to come to this. Women do have a very hard time in life and need a great deal of help. Now this woman here, Ruth, was a poor widow attached to another very poor widow, and they had no means of redeeming the lands that belonged to Naomi, the older widow, so they were condemned to perpetual poverty. Furthermore, a Moabite was not allowed in the temple of the Lord until the 10th generation, or in the tabernacle, and she was a Moabite. Therefore, she had around her inbuilt hostility, and great hostility to her too. She must have been an object of just dislike to most, curiosity, but also Boaz in the fields had to say, "Stay by my maidens, and I've commanded the young men to touch thee not." They were in difficulty and danger. And so she had to set off from Naomi's house because they had to eat. It can't have been a very easy thing to do. For although all the women had gathered round Naomi when she came and commiserated with her, that commiseration, as the Jews showed when the Lord Jesus was held in front of Pilate, could be a very shallow business indeed. And that is what is feared at funerals, the shallowness of the supposed help of those around. Now the other person in this story is Boaz, who is a man of wealth and power. He has a word attached to him, kinsman, redeemer, which also means he was a mighty man of valor. It means he was a foremost citizen and one who could be thoroughly trusted, a man who was of sterling worth. Now he was very, very wealthy. He possessed huge lands, and he really was the wealthy man of Bethlehem. So God brought these two together, Ruth and Boaz. Now as he brought them together, Boaz could have despised Ruth very easily, because she was way below him. She didn't even class herself as on an equality with his servant girls. She classed herself very low indeed, and widows in the ancient world were certainly not well thought of. They were regarded very poorly indeed and looked after very badly. But instead, he speaks encouraging words to her. And what he says here is, because we are Christians, incumbent on us to say, his attitude must be our attitude, and his way through the problem, our way through the problem. Why? Not because we are copying 4,000 years ago, whatever it is, 3,000, but because the Holy Spirit has written these words and wants you and I to take them to heart. And this Mother's Day, I thought we'd look at them. Now, the people who most need encouragement, in spite of all their advances in modern days, are women. I note that because they have this unfair method of choosing, whereby they deliberately choose ethnic minorities and women to fulfill posts in government, as government posts have been cut, so an inordinate number of women have lost their jobs, and the ethnic minorities or majorities, whatever you call them. Now, the next thing is that Naomi had come back with Ruth, who'd clung to her, but Ruth had left her gods and joined the God of Israel. And that is the big difference between the Old Testament idea of being kind to strangers and what is going on in our country. They left their own gods and joined the God of Israel. And that is where we've gone wrong over all this. And this man, Boaz, had the power to redeem her lands. Naomi knew it. Ruth at this stage didn't know it. She was just out and about. But that is what what we are. We're the nearest kinsmen to the women who follow Christ. And we've got to stay that way. And I'm often afraid that women get very little encouragement in the churches. They are the backbone of the churches, and they come in good numbers, but girls and women don't seem to get the encouragement they need. There's a lot of talk, and a lot of sort of sloppy and sentimental talk, but they aren't taught properly. When I see them in trouble and that, they've just never been taught. The church has shortchanged them. It never taught them the basic thing of salvation. Never taught them at all about how to go to God. And so, unless they get something from us, who are older Christians, they will never get anything. And it is our duty and our privilege in life to be like Boaz and to help them to get something from those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, women have many and real problems. And we must learn, like Boaz, to be able to speak forcibly, pointedly, and kindly. And without the kindness, there is little point in the others. Boaz spoke from his heart, but when he revealed his heart, he had a heart of kindness and graciousness towards others. And I have often noticed that if you go to the lower echelons of, say, a firm you're dealing with, you will get rude treatment from the clerk. But if you can get past the clerks and go up to the management, you'll get better treatment. And if you get through to the actual management desk, you'll get usually very reasonable and straightforward treatment, quite different to the others. I've noticed that again and again. It's been said to me by others. They've noticed it. And that is so. So Boaz did two things here. First, he spoke very kindly, but his speaking was also a prayer. And unless we pray for these, this Mothering Sunday, who make up so much of our churches, the present darkness will go on. It isn't just an archbishop or bishops who are like this. If you look at the makeup of the Synod of the Church of England, you'll find it's full of women. If you look at the people who vote them on, you'll find the majority of them are women. If you'll find the people who enter the churches week by week, the majority are women. And it's there that the weakness lies. And it lies a lot there. God forbid that I should sin against the young man by ceasing to pray for him. And Samuel's thing must be ours. Now Boaz speaks to her, but his whole speaking is a prayer. Now, Ruth had something very nice about her, and that was a low view of herself. And I believe if we could get among the ordinary Christians in the churches properly, we would find a ready hearing for what we have to say, if said properly. The devil keeps us out of it, and over years and years and years, I've noticed it doesn't start with being in this church. The devil keeps those who really know God's word and could help off the radio and off the television and off everywhere he can. They're very occasionally they appear, but it's very, very occasional. Now, you and I then are reduced to personal meetings. And unless those personal meetings have weight to them, like Boaz's personal meeting with Ruth, we are doing very little. So you see, this man, he took his opportunity. It was in him already. It just welled out. He liked Ruth, and he spoke nicely to her. And I've no doubt he spoke nicely to all those who worked for him. He didn't go around, because when he came into the field, he said, "The Lord be with, the Lord bless you," and they answered the same way. They gave him a blessing in return. It wasn't like to some people. So then, we need, like Boaz, quickness and strength, like that mighty man, if we're ever to help all the women in our churches. And they certainly need help, and that's certainly where things have gone wrong. Feeding them on little bits of cards and patience strong and all the rest doesn't really make up for the Bible, and it does not make up for solid doctrine. And you see, people like the wife of Lord Bacon, who did so much, she was the one who translated and helped in a great way, and the other women in the churches in Elizabethan times. She was a learned woman, and she really helped them, and so did Bacon. And I've often thought that in the Reformation, Luther said to all the doctors who gathered to hear him, "Don't imagine that I'm going to speak to you today in this great church in Wittenberg." He said, "I speak to the woman who comes here to sell the eggs in the market, and that these are the people I address." And there is something in that. There's a tremendous need to stop having philosophizing and doctorates and to just get down to speaking to the heart of these poor people who are in our churches. Now, why do women need encouragement like this? Well, it's because of what they've done. What they've done is to leave their mother and father. Very few families are in churches unless the little children being brought in, and very few husbands. Most of these women are making a stand alone to get here. Most of them throughout our churches have had to go the opposite way to what their mothers and fathers taught them, and have had to stand completely alone, often with a very poor background, and often with only the poorest helps. You see, some of these Bibles which they get hold of simply aren't telling them the truth. The woman's Bible is doing the rounds, and there's lots and lots of them. There's a witch's Bible out on the market. A lot of these Bibles just aren't helping them forward, and they're not taught to read the Bible. The general consensus is that Bible reading took a nosedive about 20 years ago and is still continuing to plummet downwards in the churches. So these are the things that they need a great deal of encouragement in, because of what they've done. Now, if you think of what they've done, it's quite brave. I remember, as an assistant chaplain in St. John's in Casablanca, a girl, well, I wasn't then that, I was just a new missionary there at that point, a girl coming in each week dressed in a full Arab robe and a face covered, and she was an English girl married to a Muslim out there, and she came each week to church, It must have been a battle royal to get herself there every week. I noted that nobody ever spoke to her among the English people. They just avoided her and left her. I was very, very new then, but it often struck me that that girl needed a great deal of encouragement. And later, they put her on a plane to England in utter tears, leaving her children and her husband behind, saying she could take no more of it. And they need encouragement and need help all the way through. You see, they've left their country and their culture behind. They've left their friends behind. You know the old hymn, "Do thy friends despise, forsake thee." Take it to the Lord in prayer, but it should also be us who take it to the Lord in prayer. And like her, they've made a resolve. Ruth said, "Let me not leave thee. Entreat me not to leave thee." And that's what these women have done. Many of them are in the churches, understanding very little, but determined to go on that way, in spite of husband pressure and home pressure and all the pressure of the older generation and everything around them. And they need great encouragement, and they're just not getting it in the churches. So you think of how many single mothers there are turn up in churches, how many students who live alone in lodgings, and you think of what they've left to follow him. They do need encouragement. Now, what we need to offer them is peace, a haven of peace. Quarrels in churches are very, very wicked things, because they disturb people like that and teach them that Christians are no different to the rest and are just unpleasant people who are proud and want their own way. Quarrels of the sort I mean are quarrels on personality and quarrels about foolish points of difference. Those things, I was sent a book this week by a man, I've seen books by him before, which is a straight attack on the Baptists, which he wanted wanted to me to review. Well, I sent it back. I said to him, this magazine was started by the efforts of John Newton, who was famously denominationally colourblind, and we just don't go in for attacks on each other like that. And the fact is that there's a great deal of quarrelling in the churches. Now, Boaz took this girl and he offered her a haven out of all the quarrelling going on around. You see, I've no doubt that when the reapers were going, the people behind them, picking up the corn, were relations, women who were related to them in some way or other, all from Bethlehem. And they did not like other people coming into their little patch to steal their little bit of good. And so I've no doubt Ruth was bitterly resented by the women who were around her. So they have to have something that helps them in peace and quietness. You see, another thing is, no Moabite admired Ruth. The Moabites would class her as a traitor and as one who'd done the dirty on her own family and on the honour of the Moabite people. So there she was, stuck all alone. Now, I noticed something more about Boaz. Boaz stepped into her defence. He, it was, who said, "You can draw water from the vessels the young men have drawn." Now, you see, the young men undoubtedly had to labour to get those vessels up, and they resented these women who came behind taking the water out of them, so they had to go and draw more. So they got shirty and unpleasant with anyone who took a drink from their water. because they didn't want the labour in the hot sun. Have you ever seen them doing it with their sickles, mile after mile of the harvest in front of them, and the sun burning down, the men in great broad-brimmed hats, bending over double all the day, working and working and working? Well, people like that don't like being forced to go the extra mile. Now, the only other friend Ruth had in the whole place was Naomi. And if they were to eat, she had to get Naomi something to eat. Naomi wasn't able to go out like this and do it. So here she was. But Boaz was determined to show her that kindness still existed among the people of Bethlehem. And so, with prudence and gentleness and care, he spoke to her. Well now, we need this lesson. We need it deeply, that we actually help these hundreds and hundreds of women who are going into our churches. They say under 1 million people go. I don't know, but I would think probably 3/4 of them are women. And I would think of those 3/4 are badly taught women. Women who've never really understood very much of the Christian way. And nobody's ever broken it down and explained it to them and made it into milk that can be taken by babes. The whole thing needs a grave look at it. Now, let's have a look at what is this full reward that Boaz is offering her. It's got by trusting under the wings of God. Now, the wings of God, they're painted in cathedrals with angels with fluffy wings and that, but they're nothing like that. The wings of God, that's what she had as her reward for leaving her people and her country and for looking after Naomi and clinging to her. She was offered to rest under the wings of God. Now, I don't hesitate to say that a full reward be given thee can only be given when we reach heaven. Perfect rest lies there. Redemption of the body, the defeat of sin, and the whole of this world and its troubles being left behind lies beyond the grave. So perfect full reward is there. But there is a reward now. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And here is a promise of life that now is and which is to come. So there is something here. In the 1920s, there was a great movement for saying that life was, that we shouldn't expect a reward. And they had a favourite illustration they used to use, something about a woman at a well who drew water for people without expecting any reward. Well, it's all very well, but Paul fought for a reward. The Bible is full of the rewards we're offered, and we're going for a reward. There's no doubt about that. We haven't taken leave of our senses, but here is a full reward offered her and something she could have. Well now, what is the full reward? The first thing he's saying is, when you were in Moab and served their gods, you were in a state of fear to those gods. That fear is gone. There is no need to have that fear of God and Father in Israel. Our God is not like that. And then there's no more conscience of sin. And then you have worked. Now the word here is work, for your work that you've done. Now, it's odd idea to us that we're rewarded for work and not rewarded just for grace. But here he offers her a reward for work. And there is a sense in which we are to go and work in the Lord's vineyard, and I will pay thee that which is right. That's got to be done. There's got to be work, an actual work, and many Christians don't work. It's a simple fact. They sit back and let the world go by. Each day they mark with a list of things done. But are they done? They may be as unto the Lord. To the Lord. Who's been spoken to? Who's been helped to understand? Who is being lifted up by Christ through you? These are the things that are needed. There's a work. There's a work for Jesus that says, ready to your hand. Faithful, true, and willing. So then, he said that your work will be rewarded. First of all, by God supplying all her needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all things that would reach her, bad and good, would be to her good. There'd be nothing bad that could hurt her. Everything now from now on would be to her good. And then doing good brings its own reward. Because every time you lead a sinner to Christ, you cover a multitude of sins. And there's an unselfish bliss in going round genuinely helping others without any monetary reward to it, or reward that this world recognizes. Now, if you are like Ruth, then you can grow as a Christian, and that has its own reward. You get to advance, also to stand firm and to keep the advance you've made, and you can fight to win against all the evil. But the real rewards lie beyond that. The first great reward, really, that Ruth got was she learned to pray. And all these women in the churches pray. I no doubt that many of them do. But you see, they're taught such poor ways of prayer. I remember an Anglo-Catholic in this town telling me that when people gave him a prayer request, he used to write it on a bit of paper and put it in a bag and carry it round with him. And then when he took Mass in the evening, he'd put this bag of stuff on the altar, as he called it. Well, that's not prayer. Nor are lighting candles to people prayer. Prayer is overcoming prayer. And this girl learnt prayer. She learnt it in deeply, and she learnt prayer that prevails. And the greatest thing we can offer these people who are entering our churches is to teach them the prayer that prevails once they have been converted. And you will learn something else for Ruth, and that is communion with God. Her gods she knew from the outside and feared them, but she'd found the God of Israel who had communion and faithfulness and loved them. Well, how will all this happen to the people who join us? Well, God says it comes from his wings, and that we need to think about a lot. It speaks of the eagle in Deuteronomy 32, who stirs up her nest and pushes the chicks out over the edge down the precipice, and as they flutter hopelessly in the air, she swoops underneath them and picks them up on her wings and carries them back up. Now that is exactly the prayer, that is exactly what God offers, that every fall he would cover. And he says, I bear you on eagle's wings unto myself. That's in Exodus 19. And God brought them right across the desert on eagle's wings to himself, not just to Canaan. And she's offered that God's wings will carry her to himself. And then you think of all the things that are offered to those who, under the shadow of thy wings, under the shelter of thy wings, were offered so much. It's a refuge until these calamities be overpassed, until the wicked cease from troubling. All these things are promises in the Bible to people who shelter under his wings. And in Psalm 91 you'll find a great list of things which are offered to those who shelter under the wings of God. The other picture is of a mother hen who said, Jesus said, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chicks, and ye would not. That she was offered the rest and shelter that comes of a mother bird looking after its young from God. And that is something a lot of these women need. And the reason their children do so badly at school is because they've never learned these things. They learn a sort of stiff upper lip and a sort of morality, but they don't learn this as they ought to. And the other thing, and the last thing, is God found her a husband, and a good husband at that. And God found her a son, and a good son at that. And God found her as the mother of Messiah, one of the mothers, like Mary, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God took this little stranger from a far country and did that to her. Would God would repeat it again in our land many times in these days, that these women in our churches should find, not held in front of them, the promise of power and of woman power and of a job and of satisfaction and told how to get rid of their children, but instead should be taught these wonderful things. Who can teach them but a Boaz? Amen.